Welcome to the National Presbyterian Church podcast. I'm Pastor Ray Hilton, and I'd like to personally say how thrilled we are to share our sermon with you this week. If you feel encouraged by our messages, we invite you to hit the subscribe button so you will never miss an episode. Now, let's go to the National Presbyterian Church sanctuary and hear the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading today is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, found in pages 783 and 784 of your pew Bibles. Hear the word of the Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it was been written by the prophets, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people.'" When Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Last Sunday, Dr. Hilton brought to life the story of the Magi, the three wise men, who left their lives behind to follow a star from the east to the west. These men devoted considerable time and effort and energy to this adventure because somehow they had figured out that this quest to find the person behind the star was an important one. And somehow that quest deserved everything they had to give for it to happen and everything that they had sacrificed to make it come about. And those wise men were right. Those astrologers, those Gentiles from the East, brought their very best gifts, and they laid them at Jesus' feet in acknowledgement of who he is, and the acknowledgement of what his purpose is. That Jesus Christ, that little child, is the Savior of the world. And he truly is worthy of all praise and honor and glory. But there's another character that's part of this narrative, and it was Herod the Great. And once again, we're going to be focusing on his story this morning. So please bow your heads and let's pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Herod ruled over the Jews, the people of Judea, from 37 BC to 4 BC. And he came to power after his father had appointed him governor of Galilee, about 10 years prior to him becoming king. Now, Herod's family had strong ties to Rome. His father had really good relations with Julius Caesar and the Roman Senate. And due to the influence of Herod's father, who had helped the Senate and Julius Caesar wrest control of Palestine, following their invasion, more glories were heaped upon Herod's family. They got Roman citizenship, which benefited everyone in the family. And Herod's grandfather also converted to Judaism. And that connection helped them because the Romans really appreciated having a Jew being the ruler over Judea, over the Jewish people. Herod also weathered a lot of power struggles and political intrigue in Rome, and he somehow managed to get his influence to grow. Herod was savvy, and he had military intelligence and skill, and that also benefited him. And Herod was a useful vassal for Rome because he supported the interests of his patrons. Herod didn't hesitate to do whatever it took to consolidate his power and to raise his political capital. And Herod even divorced his first wife to marry a woman from the Hasmonean family that was a royal lineage, which helped him solidify even more power. But Herod was also the first leader to exert some sort of peace over Palestine. There had been a lot of chaos in that area and a lot of disorder in the land. But Herod was able to sort of put all those things together and make peace come about, which benefited the Roman patrons and also the citizens. And that was a double win for Herod. And he was also known for his massive construction projects. When Herod became king of Judea, he built fortresses and aqueducts and theaters and other public buildings that benefited his people and raised his profile. And the largest construction project that he undertook was the rebuilding of the Second Temple. If you remember your history, the first temple was destroyed in 587 BC by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and nothing had been done to the building since then, 5 centuries. But Herod undertook the rebuilding of that temple, and we still see that little bit that is left today, the Western Wall in Jerusalem. It still stands. I know it's surprising for us, but Herod was known as a sensitive and sometimes generous ruler. Apparently, when a famine broke out about 10 years into his rule over Judea, Herod melted down his own gold in order to buy corn for his people. And Herod was also known to suspend tax collection during particularly difficult financial times for his citizens. He noticed their circumstances, and he took positive action to help them. And that was a good thing. Herod was a good ruler over Judea. He made his life better for his citizens. He rebuilt the temple. He maintained good relationships with the Romans. But he also had a dark shadow side, and it turned very dark indeed. And that's the story that we know, the story that is painted of Herod in the scriptures. We know of a man who is very suspicious, who's very jealous, and who is a schemer. In the passage that Zach read for us, we see a man who portrays himself to the Magi as a humble man, as a man who recognized that there was a ruler who was more significant than him and needed to be worshiped. And yet there is evil in Herod's heart. And the question is, how can a ruler who can be so good be so murderous? Herod was poisoned by fear. And we see that at various times in his rule. Do you remember that first woman that he divorced, the woman that he divorced his first wife for? She was a princess. She helped him consolidate his power. Well, he murdered her and two of their sons. He also murdered her grandfather, her mother, and her brother. In Herod's suspicious mind, anyone who threatened his rule needed to be eliminated, no matter who they were, even if they were his own children, his own flesh and blood, his own wife. One commentary that I read tells a story that affirms this disgusting, evil nature of Herod. Apparently, when Herod knew that the end of his life was coming, he ordered a group of distinguished citizens of Jerusalem to be arrested and imprisoned. And at the moment of Herod's death, he had made the decree that those citizens were to be killed so that the people of Jerusalem would mourn. Herod knew that no one was going to be sad when he died, but he wanted to make sure that Jerusalem would feel that pain anyway. Knowing these things about Herod, we shouldn't be surprised that Herod went to great lengths to ensure that the Magi would help him eliminate the latest threat to his reign, the birth of a baby in Bethlehem. We're told that Herod is very frightened when the Magi showed up in Jerusalem and asked about a baby who had been born king of the Jews. This great occasion even was distinguished by a new star in the heavens. Surely, this was an important baby. And the news of a new king was very frightening indeed. Why? Because I think that Herod most likely thought that he already had taken every step that he needed to neutralize all threats to his throne. I imagine that Herod already anticipated every potential avenue of disloyalty and cut off any challenger to his rule. So the news from the Magi was unsettling because it introduced a new and an unexpected threat, a baby in Bethlehem. Now, Herod knew that nothing about this child was part of his lineage. He wasn't the father of this baby. And so Herod realized that he needed to gather information to figure out how he could successfully navigate this threat. And Herod's anxiety even spreads throughout Jerusalem, for we're told that the entire city is on alert after the Magi showed up. The people of Jerusalem knew better than anyone how volatile Herod could be, and how quick he would be to lash out at anyone to maintain his control. It must have been a scary time in Jerusalem, because no one knew where the threat came from, and everyone wondered what Herod would do next to find out. The people of Jerusalem knew from experience that Herod's anxiety was dangerous. So Herod assembles his very best people to figure out the intel and soothe his worry. He gathers the chief priests and the scribes who had all the knowledge because they were experts in the law and the scripture. And they would help Herod get to the bottom of this. And they were helpful. They were able to tell Herod that yes, indeed, Micah had prophesied that there would be a Messiah who would come from Bethlehem. So the problem was partially solved for Herod. But he still didn't know who the Messiah would be. And so he has to ask the Magi to help him. He wanted the Magi to tell him when the star showed up, so he would know how long ago the birth had occurred. But even that didn't help him figure out who the baby was. So Herod sent the Magi on ahead to do the dirty work for him. He told them to let Herod know after they arrived in Bethlehem where that baby was so that Herod could go and pay his respects. But we all know that Herod's real design was to know where to go to neutralize the threat. Of course, he couldn't tell the Magi that. He had to lie, which he did. Unfortunately, these Magi had no reason to doubt Herod, so they were very willing to return to him and give him all the information that he needed. Now, Zach didn't read the rest of the story for us today, but Herod realizes that the Magi did not send back word to him where they found the baby, because they'd been warned in a dream to go home a different way and to bypass Herod completely. And Herod was filled with rage at their deception. And he gave an order for all children 2 and under in and around Bethlehem to be murdered. Remember, Herod knew where the star appeared, and he had an idea where to send people to murder these children. So it's someone 2 years old and someone in Bethlehem. That was the threat. So Herod was willing to inflict pain and suffering on all of Bethlehem so that his reign wouldn't be threatened. That's a despicable man. Now, even though Herod was a Jew, he did not seek after God's own heart. He was not a man who put his trust in God, and he was not one to follow God's guidance in his life. Herod was the type of man to believe in his own hype, that he was all-powerful, he was the glorious one, and he was worthy of praise. But this belief is built on shaky ground. If you put your trust in your own power, in your own accomplishments, in your own goodness, you're deceiving yourself. And Herod deceived himself. He wasn't the author and perfecter of his life. God was. Herod wasn't the one who did great things. God was the one who used Herod to accomplish his purposes on earth. God allowed Herod to rule over Judea, and nothing Herod could do would extend his time on the throne. It was only in God's provision that Herod was king. God was the one with the ultimate power and authority, not Herod. But Herod is a lot like us, I think, because he thought he could control his outcomes. And because most of the time when his plan worked, he believed that hype. But at what cost? Herod's heart and mind were twisted with fear that poisoned him, and it corrupted him into a ball of paranoia. The fear to do whatever it took to stay in power comes up. The fear that drives him to do whatever he needs to maintain control. The fear that whispers into his mind to trust in his own wisdom and power rather than to follow God's leading and to submit to God's authority. Because Herod believed in his own hype, he did not understand the assignment. Herod thought that that baby would challenge his power, and that really wasn't the case. Because Jesus' authority is far more powerful and far-reaching than Herod could ever imagine. Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came to save the lost, the marginalized, the broken, the powerless, whoever and wherever. Jesus' rule is over the hearts of those who love him and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior of their lives, not just those in Judea. Jesus came to reconcile humanity to God through the power of the cross. Jesus came to give his life to those who love him and to grant eternal life for those who call him Lord. That's the king who was born in Bethlehem, whose star shone so brightly that it caught the attention of three wise men in the east. Those men who were so struck by that occasion that they left their jobs, their families, to travel a long distance to bring gifts of honor and to worship this child king. The men who acknowledged Jesus as Savior of the world, the one who was worthy of all praise and glory. I hope that we would live our lives like the wise men rather than Herod. That we would be open to the rumblings and the stirrings of our heart like the wise men were. That we would pay attention and be ready to follow God at a moment's notice, no matter where that journey takes us. I hope that we would be like the wise men who worshiped and glorified the king and who didn't fall prey to an evil man with evil intentions. I pray that we would be like those wise men who are willing to listen to God and to go in the direction that God sent them, even if it was another way that was unexpected. Now, we don't know if the wise men developed a relationship that went to such depth with God. The scriptures don't tell us. But I would hope that an encounter with Jesus would have a lasting impact and put a lasting love in those wise men's hearts. And I hope that the same would happen for us. I hope that we would give King Jesus our hearts and our lives and our love, that we would desire a relationship with Jesus and do our parts to build one, that we would trust Jesus with our burdens, with our hopes and our fears, that we would ask Jesus direction when we're stumped, and that we would follow him. I would hope that we would be fully in as Jesus' disciples and bring Jesus glory through our words and our actions and our behaviors. I hope that we would submit our plans and our wills to God and be open to embrace the adventure that God asks us to. And finally, I pray that our lives would be filled with worship and praise for our King, for our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and the Savior of each one of us. May God have the glory and the power in that. Let us pray. O Lord, may we be like the wise men. Fill us with a passion to follow you. Give us determination no matter the journey. Cause us to be obedient no matter the cost. And fill us up with love for you that knows no end. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
We're glad that you could be with us today. If you would like more information about our church, visit our website at nationalprez.org. That's nationalprez.org. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing our podcast with your friends and giving us a rating. If you haven't already, be sure to click the subscribe button. See you next week.